There's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
Got it. A tongue teaser there.
Jason. It is. This is Jason, and I got Mark Sanford.
Hello, everybody.
The other half of who we are in Chicago. Terry and Mark Goodwin are in Chicago.
Speaking of Chicago, the Blackhawks won this week, which was, there's a lot of people in St. Louis who have grudges against Chicago teams. And unfortunately, I'm one of those. But it seems like every time I watch one of those games, they win. And Tampa
Maybe
Bay.
Maybe you should stop watching them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I should just be disinterested so they lose. But Tampa Bay was, like, dominating the game. And then the Blackhawks came back in the third period, last 4 minutes. They scored two goals. It was so ridiculous.
Well, there's a reason they're in the playoffs.
That's very true.
It's probably
they
not
do have a very
bad.
Good team. Everybody who loves the Blues will hate me for saying that. But
it's true. It was like when we watched the playoffs between the Blues and the Kings. The Kings were just whooping them.
Yeah.
That was a few years ago, but
it's pretty much how it goes.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, these guys are good. And then Terry's wife, Suzette, is an avid Blues fan. She was not entirely happy with me.
Right.
But it was the truth. They were a good team.
Indeed. So I understand you did some brickwork this week?
I did.
You want to tell us about that?
I do. So I have done very little brickwork. I've done a lot of ugly tuck pointing. And so, you know, and part of the businesses that we have is we do some property maintenance and rehab. And so we had this brick job, and that day started out with needing tires replaced on our work truck. And
fun.
Yeah, and then getting some cleanup, and then all of a sudden surprise donation, which was great because it was really useful stuff. And then picking up some boards that some school kids had painted to board up a building, which was great. Actually, they did a good job. And then I finally ended up on the roof messing with bricks. And it was something else.
Yeah.
And it was, and the way that I was looking at it was that here I am at the top of four levels of scaffolding. And I was like, this is one scary jungle gym.
Pretty much what they are.
Yeah, because it was a little
really
bit.
Treat it like that, though.
But it was good work. And I was working with some of our guys that I don't get to work with. And it was great because they were really encouraging because they work hard and they didn't complain.
Yeah. Yeah, for not having too much experience with bricks. Brickwork, you can be intimidated very easily with a job like that.
Yeah, I was doing homework the night before looking up YouTube videos.
Right. That's how we get along.
Yes, it is. YouTube University.
We got a pretty cool show lined up this week. We have a little bit more music for you, for y'all. We got about six songs ready for you. But last week we talked about our sponsors, what Sun Ministries does. And that's basically what we're engaged in outside of this radio show, what we're engaged in day to day. But last week we talked about what Sun Ministries does, specifically the Isaiah 61 initiative, which is our approach to our ministry, really, the vision that God gave us initially in 2009 to go move to the inner city. And so we also talked about Isaiah 58, which talks a lot about what true fasting is.
Yeah, it's just a lifestyle where you're living right. In such a way that there aren't even yokes in your presence.
Right.
And just taking that, you know, we talked about this idea of Jesus and how he, you know, had all the rights in the universe because he created the thing, and he laid down all those rights to come down to people that were in desperate need of him, and that we're supposed to copy that same attitude. We're supposed to give up our privilege, our rights, our security, our comfort, or whatever it is, and go and help the hurting, the people that need Jesus.
Right.
And so Isaiah 58 is kind of just another portrayal of that.
Yeah, you know, in a lifestyle format.
Yeah, deny yourself, lay down your life, care for all these broken people.
And that's really what I gathered, like, true fasting. God looks at fasting. He's like, it's not just, like, abstaining from food while you keep doing all the things that you do to feed yourself,
right.
You know, and keep your selfish lifestyle. It's like, you got to give that up.
Yep.
And so we're also going to talk, or we did talk a little bit about the Leadership Center, mm-hmm. Which is a ministry of some ministries, and the Narrow Gate program. We covered that, I don't know, it was probably like 5 minutes at the end of the show. So we're going to go into a little bit more detail about those today.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about what we've learned, because really, I mean, to be honest, before we started this 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever it was, we didn't, I mean, you know, a lot of us were a mess. We didn't really, you know, some of us knew God better than we, you know, than others, and some of us had more experience than others, but by and large, we had never done what we were doing. We'd never left everything and gone to the inner city to try to live the gospel together.
I was going to say, there's not really any preparation for that other than what God does to show you himself, you know, and to build your capacity.
Yeah. But we've had to have an attitude of diving in and seeking God and rolling with it. Which is pretty much every day. Yes. Plans. I was telling one of the guys the other day. I'm like, yeah, I made a bunch of plans, and they couldn't care less. They up and left. And you know, so it's just been being mindful of how God's leading us and responding to that. Not saying, oh, we got everything figured out, so we're just going to stick to it. It's saying, okay, God, we think we know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Please lead us in the right direction.
Right. And the cool thing, it's like Scripture basically led the whole thing. I'm going to briefly just recite some Isaiah 61 here, because basically the gist of this passage is the first three verses is pretty much the work of Christ. So Jesus actually proclaimed the first three verses in Luke chapter 4 when he was in the synagogue around a bunch of his fellow Jews. So the first part says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's pretty much what we experienced. We experienced the freedom before we got the vision for the next verse. The next verse says, then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And it goes on to talk about these people who do that and other things that will happen that we don't fully understand. But you know, we experienced, the way that I see it, the first three verses are about you engaging God on a spiritual transformation level. And then
I remember when I first realized that, and it wasn't that long ago. It was only two, maybe 3 years ago. I think it was only 2 years ago.
Right.
And God was just kind of like, yeah, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, that me is you.
Right.
You know, it's like,
right.
And have some confidence because I have put my Spirit on you to go and do this thing. So believe me and walk with me and go and do it.
Yeah, it just reminds me a lot of Isaiah himself, whenever he was commissioned, is like crushed before the throne, and he's like, who's going to go for us? And he's like, well, I guess I'm going. Actually, he said, here am I, send me. He was very eager for it, you know? So obviously something happened in that. He was lit on fire, and God said, don't worry, all of your iniquity is atoned for, now go. But this is what's going to happen. That's what blows my mind, is that God's like, oh, you keep preaching, and they're going to listen, but they're not going to understand, and all this different stuff, but you're going to keep preaching, and they're just going to keep rejecting that. Which is a pretty heavy burden, but so basically Isaiah 61 is what has compelled us. You know, before 2009, most of us were in the suburbs of St. Louis, and so that interaction with the Holy Spirit ourselves kind of led us to try and fulfill that scripture. And God said, go to the inner city, and we just find our way to Hyde Park, where we have started our work. But God has shown us such a greater picture that it's not just Hyde Park. It's the inner cities of America, the, you know, dilapidated parts. I mean, if you walk or drive through Hyde Park, there's more vacant buildings than inhabited.
Just about.
And that's exactly what the scripture says, the desolations of many generations. I mean, this this part of town has so much history. And as we keep living there among the people, we realize that the strongholds, if you will, are rooted in racism and poverty, generational poverty, and things of the like, basically.
Yeah, and just kind of just where the culture's come now, where it's very self-centered, it's a very self-defensive. It's I'm talking about culture in America as a whole, not necessarily right. any specific pocket of it.
Right.
But all those things, they all work together to basically bind people into stuff. And then, you know, that's what Jesus is saying. Is like, go, they're broken people, you know, and you're right. broken too. So let me heal you. I'm going to patch you up and I'm going to send you out. And just to be clear, if anybody's listening that's not listened before, but so what we're talking about is basically God sending us to inner cities and saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be sending missionaries to inner cities in America to live out the gospel in a way that is vastly different from what the culture teaches, from what the modern traditional structured church system teaches.
Right.
And you know, different from business as usual, like literally business, like economic, you know, financial, regular businesses and not-for-profits and all this stuff. And he's saying you're going to live, you know, to use a remarkably overused term, you know, radically. It's going to be just commitment to God and to each other and to the vision, and it's going to cost your life. But I'm going to give you an abundant life that you never could have imagined.
Right.
And absolutely, we can testify to that. And it's not because I was special or because Mark was special.
Right.
It was, you know, God hit us and we were like, yes, okay. And every day is a challenge and we're like, I have no idea what you're doing. And some days are super hard.
We were the lowest of the low, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a
bum.
Drug addict throughout my entire teenage years. And, you know, I took a revelation of the Holy Spirit, a revelation of who Jesus was while I was actually on LSD when I was 19 years old. I mean, he just cut through it and it started there because he just swept me off my feet. But, which kind of, you know, now that I've been delivered from so many things like that, my passion is to see that replicated in other people, which is why I'm now surrounded by it. I mean, the area where we're living in is, I mean, the drug of most prevalence is probably marijuana, but there's a lot of heroin mm-hmm. going around the streets. There's a lot of speed going around the streets, different stuff like that. So it's, you know, if God delivers you from something, he's probably going to put you around people that are not delivered from the thing that you were. So you can testify to that and lead them to that. So,
yeah. So before we go on, do you want to go to a break?
Yeah, let's go to a commercial break.
All right. See you guys in a couple minutes. I was born into a system constructed for failure. It's a sinking ship being manned by drunken sailors. An escape artist behind the bars of a jailer. An asthmatic attack and they withhold the inhaler. If a shoe doesn't fit, what good is
it? So before the break, we were talking a little bit about vision of Sun Ministries and what kind of sparked it all. Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 58 being that central scripture that God gave to us.
And he keeps bringing us back to him, which is right. like, seriously, like he'll regularly show one of us something either new or a little deeper, or it's just been more contextualized. And
well, it's amazing how certain parts of them are just linked to other parts. There's references in the end of Isaiah 58 that tie to Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall, coming back out of captivity in Jerusalem. So it's like, There's just little tidbits all over the place, and God's like, yeah, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
This is a real thing, and this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
and
like,
how it connects to Jesus and
right.
what he preached and what the, you know, he talks about the sheep and the goats and what the sheep should be doing and all those things, they reflect each other.
Right.
So he's kind of like, hey, I wasn't kidding.
Right. That's pretty cool stuff. We, so basically we're, which this kind of leads us to the Leadership Center and explaining a little bit more in detail what the Leadership Center is all about. And I know last week we basically talked a lot about the vision of the Leadership Center, which is basically to recruit missionaries to work and administer in an urban setting, and specifically to focus on young leaders. And obviously we're, like we said before, we are stationed in inner cities, so it's an urban setting. But these trainees can basically enter into a culturally diverse serving environment by spending that's actually a year in what we call the urban missions training. And we'll go into a little bit more depth of what that is in just a couple minutes. But we also encourage them to implement their ideas and actually, I guess, just share their ideas on how they would address problems in the area. Like yeah. they're put into this urban setting. They're most of the time overwhelmed with the reality of the humanity around them, you know, and the problems, the strongholds. And that's another word that we use a lot is strongholds. So basically the idea behind that is, you know, wherever Satan is at work and he has a hold on anything, we basically just call that a stronghold.
Yeah. And those can be, you know, personal, they can be cultural, right. You know, whatever. But so, I mean, basically the leadership center is a chunk of Sun Ministries that's, you know, it is what it says. It's to develop leaders. It's basically how we train our missionaries. And so they come there to get undone and redone into doing ministry and living their faith and doing work in a way that we feel reflects God's patterns for all those things.
Well, it's just a really interesting thing as well. If you look at like missions in the modern American church and through seminary and all this different stuff, they're always really focusing on foreign countries, on unreached people groups,
yeah.
stuff like that, certain demographics. And this is just a completely different approach. It's your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in St. Charles, which is about 25 miles from where I live, but that 25 miles makes all the difference.
It does.
I mean, I'm in a completely different setting every day than what I grew up in. And a lot of that hits me pretty hard sometimes, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. holy cow, this was here the whole time. And I'm glad that God's led me to where I am now. I'm actually glad that I grew up where I did, because I wouldn't have it any other way now that he's done his work in me. But it's a completely different environment. And, you know, I just didn't realize how sheltered I was
mm-hmm.
and how ignorant I could be just by living in a certain area and not going to see the other areas.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Well, I mean, the truth is, and it sounds silly, but like all you know is all you know.
Right.
You know, you can't know something that you don't.
Right.
And
very true.
And you only know as you pursue to learn more and to humble yourself, to be taught. And that's another aspect of the leadership center. It's like everyone has to come in and get rid of their pretense and their pride and their preconceived ideas and their prejudices and say, okay, here's an environment that I really don't have a good grasp on.
Right.
So I need to get rid of my things that tell me I know the answers to everything and say, you know, maybe I don't know some answers and I need to observe and to listen and to really just plead with God that he'll teach me.
I was going to say, most of my days start off by I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I still say that. And the funny thing for me is that that's all I used to tell myself, you know, before I got serious about God, but it was a very depressed like cop out of responsibility sort of thing. But
right.
Now it's just a legitimate kind of awe at what God's doing around me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of funny for me that that's totally switched meanings.
So I think the other aspect of the leadership center is that we focus on training young leaders, but it's also a very non-traditional approach. It's not what you find in seminaries. Like I said, this non-traditional approach is to very long-standing problems that we're talking about in the inner cities of America. So a part of those non-traditional approaches is basically working side, like instead of a classroom setting, like college, you know, you sit down, you listen to a professor for whatever amount of hours a week, and then he gives you stuff to do and you do that and you turn it in. Well, that's not exactly this approach. This approach has basically three sides to it. It's basically, you know, you work in the ministry. We have five businesses that we operate right now. You work a certain amount of hours a week for room and board, and then you work beside missionaries. Like mm-hmm. there's candidates, or there's trainees that are going through that training, but they're working right alongside other people who've been through that training,
mm-hmm.
have been equipped and transformed, and so they're learning how to minister next to somebody else. And so that's.
And then they're also working through people that are in our Narrow Gate program, which we'll get to later on. But
right.
basically. The people that we're ministering to, it's people that generally have some sort of obstacle issue in their life and they need some rehabilitation to some degree or the other. And so it's just a very real-time, real-life, you know, you can't walk into these work environments assuming that you got everything under control. It has to be God, you have to teach me how to minister to this person, how to accomplish my task, which might be really menial. You know, it might be washing dishes or sanding wood, whatever it is. But it's still, how do I accomplish that task or steward my responsibility and at the same time minister to this person
some of these situations
while we're running a business?
Right.
And that's not easy, but I think God did that on purpose.
Yeah, and I think we've had, you know, we've had some employees in the past and narrow gate participants that, you know, have had their loved ones murdered, you know, and that was while they were being employed. So they come to work one day, or maybe they don't come to work and they call and they say, hey, you know, so-and-so got shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking just now that you mentioned that, how many people we've known that we've employed that have had very close family members die.
Exactly. And it's just like, at that point, I don't care how much training you've had in anything. It's like, you don't really know how to do anything for that person unless the Holy Spirit is just filling you up. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know anything other than to put my arms around them and say, and what do you say? Do you say it's going to be better? Or it's going to be worse.
I usually don't say anything.
Exactly.
Because what are you going to do? But I mean, I've had a kid tell me that his mom died. I've had a kid tell me that his brother got killed by the cops.
Right.
I've had, you know, people's brothers have died. They've, you know, from natural stuff, unnatural stuff, from being shot, you know, parents dying, whatever it is.
Right.
And it's just like, but what it does, I think, is, you know, it's easy to get kind of caught up in the task of stuff. And so I'm not saying God does it on purpose, but He's put us in this place, and it's like God saying, no, remember, there's real people here, and there's real ministry to be done. Mm-hmm. So realign your heart with mine.
And a lot of those circumstances are very grave, you know? It's like it's like they're heart-wrenching things. And unfortunately, that's sometimes how he has to get our attention, just by digging that dagger right into your heart.
Right.
It's like, here you go.
So before we go on, let's do a song.
Okay.
So we're talking about the Leadership Center, which like I said, is basically the portion of the ministry that equips people to become missionaries, and it's a very serious call, because the being a missionary becomes your life. It's no longer compartmentalized. It's not 9 to 5, I'm going to minister, and then the rest of the time I'm just going to chill out and do whatever. It's you're giving your life over to something that's way bigger than you. And so this song is by Heath McNeice. It's called Till We Have Faces. It's based on a work by C.S. Lewis, which is one of my favorite works by him.
Cool.
But the song just starts out with, I heard the voice of God and I followed it. And he just kind of explores that. So we're going to listen to that now. Heath McNeice, Till We Have Faces.
Awesome.
I heard the voice of God, so I followed it. Left behind the ones I love the most, no apologies. And some were jealous, like I forsook them for this monument. And some were salty, I parted grips.
Hey. So that was Heath McNeice.
Pretty awesome song.
Till We Have Faces. And if you really liked it, you can go to noisetrade.com and get it for free, completely legally.
And if you really, really liked it, you could read the C.S. Lewis book.
You could. A lot of people like to be like, oh, C.S. Lewis is the best thing ever. I think he was a decent writer. I enjoy his books. I don't think he's like, you know, God himself incarnate here to lead people back to whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I think he wrote some good stuff. That book is a novel of his, and I really liked it. Anyway, so we're talking about the Leadership Center with Sun Ministries.
Right.
And kind of it's basically to train people to live and to minister in a way that's not necessarily the standard. And
right.
It's very much give your life to this thing. So we're just going to keep on discussing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically we stopped talking about those non-traditional approaches.
Yeah.
You know, working beside fellow missionaries and encountering the hurt people of the neighborhood, encountering crime. You know, we live in that neighborhood and we hear gunshots every night. So it's a very active reality around you with real problems, deep-rooted hurt, deep-rooted other things, you know, mm-hmm. such as racism and poverty and cycles that keep people in those
things. Violence and depression and anger and all these things, and then all the things that people use to escape that, whether it be drugs or alcohol or irresponsibility or whatever it is, and all that stuff just works together, and then you have a larger society that has its own issues and it's putting its own garbage on top of that situation.
Right, and you know, specifically like Hyde Park does not have a lot of business, especially not a lot of big business. So there's a lack of jobs. And just, you know, I know what the latest statistic was, within 10 blocks of our cafe, there's 2,000, and this is just reported unemployment rate, 2,000 unemployed people.
Yeah. So
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
All right. You go.
So along those lines, I was Wash U is doing some stuff in our neighborhood right now, and they're talking to us. And so I talked to two of the girls from their class about economic development. And so they came to talk to me, and they had already talked to Terry, who's usually on our show, and he's our executive director. And he's definitely a fire hose kind of guy. And so I showed up, and they
were taking in small doses.
I think, yeah, the stars were still in their eyes, and, you know, little swirly things going on. And so we start talking, and it was encouraging and refreshing because they understood the position they were in. They understood that I liked the girls, and they seemed like they really have a heart to do some good things with their lives. But they realized that they were basically a part of a class that's going to produce a document that probably won't do anybody any good. And so we talked about that very bluntly. We talked about what economic development means for us, which is not just, oh, let's open a business. Oh, let's hire some people. Oh, let's do some programs. It's, you have to look at everything, absolutely everything from the ground up, in and out, sideways, and address that. And there's pain in that. There is a need for business, but there's also a need for human capital, like people to invest their whole lives into other people to be there for them. Like, you know, when we're talking about people, when their family members die or whatever it is, to be there, to minister, to try to get resources to them, to make sure the city's doing their job, to partner with other people.
It's the opposite of the American dream. I mean, I'm not saying that the American dream doesn't have any, fellow man decency, but you know, the very nature of it is I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine and I'm going to sit on it. And, you know, and that's, I'm going to climb the ladder, and being at the top is the best, you know, whereas this approach is being at the lowest is the best, you know, cause that's where you're going to meet Jesus. He's pulling people up by their bootstraps.
Yeah.
Those people are not pulling themselves up by their bootstraps.
No, they're just trying to live.
Right.
Like, how really you're going to think about tomorrow and you're not even really sure if you're going to make it through today with some sanity or even your life.
Right.
You know? And so we're talking about those, we got to, you know, whatever, talking about this business and stuff. So it was good though, because, you know, we're talking about non-traditional approaches. And so here I'm talking to two girls that are in college right now,
right,
doing social work, mm-hmm, and all this stuff, and we're talking about economic development, and they're both just blown away. And I don't think that's not on me. This is on the thing that God's building that I'm just trying to communicate to them. And it was good though, because they were taking it all in stride. But I think what that kind of points out is that if you're going to, so for us, we really feel that we're doing the thing God told us to do, which is very different from what the culture says to do, mm-hmm, and all this other stuff. So it's a need for foundation. Because, you know, if it's very different, it's saying live your life differently, have differing expectations about life, live your faith differently, live the gospel differently, run a business differently, run a not-for-profit differently,
right,
live in a neighborhood differently.
Yeah, and I think that's what really, you know, drives me crazy about the Leadership Center and our approach to recruiting missionaries is the fact that, you know, there is a doctrinal side of it, but the majority of our focus is on practice. It's like, okay, so, you know, because we could talk about doctrine all day long till you're blue in the face, but it really, what comes down to, just like Jesus said, is if you don't do what you hear, then you're just a hypocrite, and you're not, you know, I question whether or not you believe that, because where are your works to go with your faith? But that's really what we're talking about, and that's what really this day and age Reformation is all about. You know, Martin Luther did the doctrinal side of it, a lot of it, you know, back in 1500s. And this is like, okay, we're here to finish the job.
Yeah. We're here to, I mean, like we're talking about, like aligning our practice with our theology and developing the theology. So it's not just, oh, yep, my salvation's a golden ticket. It's, no, you're going to walk hand in hand with the Lord of the universe, who actually does love you, actually does love the people around you, and actually does want you to lay down your life for your brother so that there's a kingdom where people live together with God, you know, and glory is revealed.
Awesome.
It is. And so that's what I mean about this laying a foundation is to separate yourself from the patterns of the world and the patterns of your forefathers and the traditions and the systems and the structures, and just say, God, I want you, we want you together, and show us how you build humanity.
Yeah. And so that's basically our approach through the Leadership Center. in training these people who have a heart for what God's doing here and a heart for what we're doing, is called the Urban Missions Training. And it's basically a course whereby somebody who, at first we talked about what can we do. Previous to developing the Urban Missions Training, we did internships where people could come for a summer or whatever, while they're on break, and really just work with us, live with us side by side, and experience what we experience on a daily basis, and see if that's something that they want to pursue. Since then, we realized that that's not really enough.
No.
And not only is it not enough, but it doesn't really test people all that much.
Yeah.
And so we developed the Urban Missions Training as a year-long college alternative where you get a real certification when you complete it, but it's mainly coursework mixed with working every day and then ministering in whatever's going on. So
yeah, it's time for people to, because the lifestyle that we lead, like we're just saying, it's drastically different from the regular American lifestyle, and it's a costly life. Not that it's not good, because you're doing it with God, and it doesn't mean that you're superhuman special man now. It just means you're walking with God.
Right.
But it is hard. It is very different. It's a totally different culture and everything, the way that you think about your daily life.
Right.
You know, even your, you know, we were talking, you know, before the show about routines. You know, if you got a routine, you might as well get rid of it, because you need to adopt whatever God has for you that day instead of your expectations of your convenience.
Right.
And so it's a year to explore teaching, to dialogue, to observe, to learn, to be in the trenches, to be challenged, to overcome things, you know, because really a couple months really isn't enough for you to overcome the pain that was inflicted upon you when you were 10.
Yeah.
Or the teaching that was inflicted upon you for years that's just totally false.
Right.
Or the cultural things that you've absorbed through the years. That's not enough time.
Right. Yeah, and it's a full year to be able to start to dismantle that stuff. And and the cool thing is that, you know, it's free of charge. So, I mean, instead of going to seminary and spending $20,000 a year to get that degree so you can go preach behind a pulpit, you're learning hands-on stuff free of charge, and you're able to deal with your own junk, which is, now that I look at it, incredibly restful. You know, it's like that's such a huge break. I was delivered from a lot of pain from my past. So my pain, like, just caused so much unrest in me. And it's like this Urban Missions approach for somebody like me previously would have been just such a huge blessing, because it's like I was just so incapacitated day by day with having to, you know, make a living and different stuff like that. I mean, it's not like they don't work for room and board, but they don't, you know, they don't have a ton of stuff overwhelming them, and they have a place.
Well, as far as, a traditional sort of financial job
lifestyle,
you know, it's, there's stuff that overwhelms, but it's not worldly stuff, you know? And the good thing is that, like, some people look at what we do and they're like, oh, it's super cool, I want to do it or whatever. But this is a way for them to have a whole year to debate that with God. And it's like at the end of it, if they're like, you know, this is great, but really God's calling me to this other thing, it's awesome, because there's no hard feelings. It's like, okay, well, thanks for helping us and working with us, and I hope that whatever we taught you is good for you. And, you know, you can be on your way without them sacrificing everything to be in this specific vision. You know, it's like they come and they do it, and if it's not what they wanted, then it's not what they wanted, and it all works out.
Right. So more of, like, I guess a spiritual perspective of what people learn is the heirs of the modern American church. We are the resistance radio show. So we've talked previously about what we're resisting, and we're resisting practices that are unbiblical. So we're in, quote, radical, unquote, group of people who are really just bent on obeying the word and seeing what we see in scripture lived out in our daily lives, and where we take responsibility to go do that. So these trainees will learn the errors of the modern American church in a very prophetic way. Also learn historically where those errors came from. We've talked a lot about Constantine and Edict of Milan and all those different decisions way back when that caused a lot of what we see today. But they also learn, like, God's design for everything. So they're, and this is what I love about the way that we approach discipleship, is I'm not here to shove my beliefs down your throat. I'm just going to point you to the word and let God reveal himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't actually show you.
No, because if you were doing that, you'd be trying to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I'm sorry, Mark, you're just not.
No, I'm not.
Actually, I'm not sorry. I take that back.
I don't have giant wings. No, but you know, we basically just challenged them with scripture, and challenged them to, you know, what does that mean for you, and how is that going to affect your, and you know, and just let God move on them, because that's how God works.
And then, yeah, showing them what the body is, how to develop spiritual your gift, be aware of your gift, interacting with people in a way that's deeper and spiritual and more costly, so that your gift has an opportunity to develop.
Man, and after you learn that in the context of a body, like a gathering, then as you go out to minister to this hurting area, you have life in yourself. You have something to offer them. Whereas
you
before,
have companions.
Right.
So it's not just you and whatever you have. It's you and a community of people that are trying to encourage and carry each other.
Right. Yeah. And that's desperately needed in that part of town. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we really have to offer. But I wanted to play a song now that kind of talks about, you know, us loving that community, us loving each other, and how basically in scripture, Jesus says, whenever you love the weak or the least of these, you love me. And it's by Sean Groves. What is the name of the song?
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus. How could I forget that? Oh my goodness. All right, we're going to listen to that right now.
We love the
least. Hello, everybody, again, and welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network.
Whoa,
Radio
there.
Radio
Network, definitely.
Yeah, it's me, Jason. Me being Jason, and also Mark.
Yes.
I'm not Mark Sanford. Anyway, just Mark and Jason here.
So before the break, we heard a song by Sean Groves, Jesus, and it's a pretty powerful song, basically going through the different things that are the different lists that he made up of all the ways in which we can minister to the least of these.
Yeah.
And all their situations, you know, basically from trying to get off of drugs to house moms. It doesn't even matter. But the least of these, that's the context. Pretty powerful song.
I think, you know, when Jesus said that the greatest form of love is to lay down your life for your friend, he meant it.
I'm pretty
you
sure
know?
He did.
It's like, so you he didn't deny your flesh on on behalf of somebody else, then you're showing the greatest form of love. And Ollie just told us we have 2 minutes left.
Oh, well, we better get on it then.
We better get on it. Let's talk about living in shared resources.
Oh, all right. So is that like a commune?
Sure is. Yep. No.
No.
It's not. So for those of you that don't know, the missionaries with Sun Ministries, us, we don't get paid. We live in shared resources, which is not quite the same as communal living.
And that's why I said
right.
that, because I get asked that all the
really
time.
Really, that's a matter of vocabulary, but there are things that are implied by those terms that aren't necessarily true. But the reality is that you're living in an environment that is shared. There are items, you know, objects that are shared, and it rubs against your flesh because you don't get your own privacy, your own time, your own whatever, whenever you want it. You're giving your life to something bigger, and that bigger includes other humans.
Yeah. And I mean, basically, I want to talk a little bit about like Acts 2 and Acts 4, where it basically says, you know, the Holy Spirit's pouring out and they're feeling awe about what God is doing. God is revealing himself. And so they all start just laying down all their possessions for one another and living in that style. And that's all that we've done, basically.
Yeah. And the reality that I've seen is that it's not like, okay, cool, we all share stuff, man. It's a great party time. It's like, no, you're stewarding everything you interact with, not just for yourself, but on the behalf of everybody else.
Right.
So it raises the bar for care and concern. And you have to be that much more considerate of other people's space and their feelings and their whatever it is they need to care for them, because it's not just you. It's you and everybody else.
Right.
So it's a heightened consideration for somebody else to care for them, to care for the things y'all have to use, because it's making sure everything works together for everybody.
Right, which is a huge training ground for being a missionary.
It is, and we have to go now, but we'll be right back. Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Garrels and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of the Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church, or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.